Welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Christ. My name's Jackson. Got Dylan over here. Riding shotgun.
I'm here.
There he is. There he is. Let the people know. But it's good that you decided to tune into another episode. We're glad you're here. Hopefully we can spread some wisdom. We're getting towards the end, though. I know hopefully you've been keeping up, you know, reading along, following along, but we're about at the end. And to be honest, we don't know what's next. we were just talking about that. I don't know what direction we're going to go to. We might hop into some more wisdom literature and talk about Ecclesiastes and Job or you know what? I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. We're going to see where the wind takes us. But as for now, we might finish up Proverbs today. We just might. I don't know yet. But first off, let's keep it the pattern going. Dylan, how's your week been?
You know, my week has been good. The Lord is good to me, and I'm blessed. Life has just been a little crazy. I think since the last time we have spoken to one another, not me and Jackson, me and all you crazy folks out there.
No.
I have since moved into my house.
Woo!
So that's...
Golf snaps.
That's fun stuff.
Golf claps.
And so I moved in a week and a half ago.
I think that's right. Yeah, I moved in Saturday. So yeah.
I moved in and life is good. It's a fun time. New houses make a lot of noises that you're not ready for.
Huh, really?
They just like things creak. Because it's settling.
Right.
Like things creak and moan. And the other night I was convinced I heard footsteps. And I'm like, this is it. I'm going to die. Right. Because I didn't get up and check.
I
was laying there just awaiting my fate. And then I had to get up and use the bathroom. So I decided to be brave. I have nightlights a lot of places in there. I just tucked my head out into the living room. And I'm like,
who goes there?
Coast is clear. I'm going to go back to bed now. So yeah, but it's fun. Kind of being in a new place.
Yeah.
I guess new smells. I love the smell of a new house.
It's like a new car smell. What's better, new car smell or new house smell?
New car smell is better.
It is pretty elite.
And my car still smells new, my blue car.
So you never drive it.
Every time you get in it, I'm just like,
You never drive it.
She's got almost 4,000 miles on her.
How long have you had this thing?
I bought it in November.
Mm-hmm. 4,000 miles? I guess that's...
If we, November, let's see. How many months is that? We're in the fifth month, so it'd be 7 months.
Okay.
I've had the car.
November, December. Yeah, you're right. Because there's two.
So, I put 571 miles a month on the car.
I do that in a week in our work trucks.
Well, I bought the car for my child. For my child to drive one day. So, she's just sitting in there waiting for her time to shine. I'm taking on vacation and stuff this year, so I mean, she'll get some road time. She's finna get a lot of road time, but yeah. So there's that. Moved in the house. Finally got my old truck, my classic. Got her in the garage where she belongs.
Right.
So that made me feel good. I got all my dirt spread in my yard. That was driving me nuts. I had a big pile of dirt. And I get to live next to one of my very good friends from college. And that's been fun.
You think they listen to the podcast?
Maybe. Luke, genuinely, if you're out there.
Shout out.
Shout out from your main neighbor on the left. So, anyway, that's kind of what my life has been consisting of since September is my house. So now it's done. So now I don't know what to do with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I started a new TV series, The Middle.
The Middle.
I love The Middle. It's so funny. The Hex. It's a show about this family. It's on Amazon Prime. It's very popular right now, but it's a show about this family, and they're just chaotic.
Oh.
And I enjoy chaos, just not for myself. So I like to watch it unfold.
Right. It's fun. Yeah. I've never seen it, but I do remember.
It's actually like it's
that
a
looks
good
familiar.
Show. It's cheesy, but it's a good show. Coming from the guy that obsessed over Young Sheldon,
which is coming to an end.
It is, but I still have one. I wonder when that season's coming out.
Bless you.
Where does season 7 of...
Is that the mom off of That So Raven? Not That So Raven. Oh, that is so wrong. Everybody Loves Raymond. Do you know that?
I don't.
Have you seen Everybody Loves Raymond? I've not seen it. That's good. That's a good little show right there.
Are you kidding?
Say like 2028 or something like that.
No, it says the Daily Star reports that season 7 will likely appear on Netflix sometime at the end of 2024 or early 2025.
Wow.
That's unacceptable.
That's unacceptable.
I've seen enough spoilers on TikTok. I know exactly what happens, but I still want to watch it. So, yeah, that's been my life. Jackson, passing it back to you in the driver's seat, buddy.
By the way, it is the mom on Everybody Loves Raymond, or the wife of Raymond. That's a good show. You'd like that. I'm trying to pull it up so you can see like a... Because the middle was like made later in life for her. So, like, you can, okay. She's, like, super young. Like, when this...
She does a really good job in the middle.
That's her hugging up next to Raymond right there.
Wow, that's crazy. She does look a lot younger.
That show went to 2005, and the middle didn't start till 2009. So, there you go. Little TV trivia for you right there. Keep that one in your back pocket. But me, you know, it ain't easy being cheesy. You know, they're just no school. School's done, everyone. And you know what? I'm kind of like you with your house. Like, now you just don't know what to do with yourself. You're like, man, I'll just go home, I guess, and actually just sit there. You know, that's just something I haven't done in a long time. Or I have. I did in breaks. But as far as, like, consistently, you know, but now I'm like, man... Gotta get the yard mowed.
Right?
Just like things just start piling up. Actually, you're like, oh my gosh, I have all these new hobbies and, well, not hobbies, but all these new tasks that just fall into my lap that I got. So I got to mow the yard at the land. Got to do it. And I'm like, well, I guess I can do it this afternoon because I'm not doing schoolwork. So might as well do it then. So... It's just kind of been breezy right now. Just going wherever the wind.
Have you mowed over there more than once?
Just once. Nice. I'm going to go over there again probably this weekend really early because then I got to help Dad finish a fence. But I might go over there early. But then I might not. That one's up in the air. It depends on when I wake up because I don't get to sleep in. And I love sleep. I love sleep so much. It's so great. But yeah, that's it. I mean, we're just... I'm done with vacations. I'm done with school. I'm just a regular guy charting my way through life. So, I mean, no other way. Well,
you got this word.
No other way to put it, but blessed. I agree. So, shall we get into Proverbs?
We should. I don't think we're going to finish today. I think we're just going to get through 30.
Which is fine. I just don't know what we're going to talk about in 31 yet. I'm going to have to... We'll figure something out. Yeah. Let's... Yeah, not count our chickens before they hatch. All right. So, chapter 30. We finished chapter 29. I think it was 27, 28, 29. I think we hit 3 of them last week. I can't remember because the episode didn't post till later. So...
Just now, actually. I got the notification on Spotify.
There you go. So, you can go listen to the other episode right now. But it was delayed. So, but at the end of 29, that's kind of the ending of what's, you can't see my hands, but air quotation, what Solomon wrote. Obviously there's no like direct connection that Solomon did write. That's just a very good, you know, indicator. He just, you know, why does this guy, but this is pretty much the end of him, in his writing. It now transitions to two other people. It's the words of Agur. So you think that's pronouncing right? Agur. The son of Jacob, the oracle. So, you know, the identity of Agur, he's the son of Jacob. And that's the Jakith or Jacob. It's kind of unknown. No one really knows where... who this guy is or pinpoints it, but he made the Bible, so he must be big. Right. He made it, all right? And then chapter 31 is King Lemuel, and that's also funny because no one knows a Lemuel or where he was king. But it says it here in Proverbs. So, but we're going to focus on chapter 30. Dylan, I think your verse is up first, so take it away.
Yeah, so I'm going to do verses 5 and 6. A little bit of a different format, I guess, verse or chapter 30 compared to what we've been doing the past couple of months. But verse 5 and 6, I'm stalling because I got to yawn.
Bless you.
I felt it coming, folks. I just had to stall. But verse 5 and 6 says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." You know, one thing that's been really kind of heavy on my mind here, I don't know, the past week or so, is why this kind of verse jumped out to me. Maybe it doesn't jump out to you, but for me, you know, it seems like everybody that I'm surrounded with, and not, I wouldn't say like not immediately my church family or not Jackson, but just you see people in your day-to-day life that seem to really humanize God. And we're all guilty of it, but I've really seen it here recently of people basically putting words in God's mouth that were never intended to be there. And I don't think it's necessarily intentional, but we humanize everything. Everything. Because that's just what our brain does. We get into a routine, we know how we like things, so we automatically assume that we know how God likes things. Right? And we do this in our worship. We do this in our prayer life. We do this when we're discipling other people. We do this really in our entire spiritual walk. And I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and I told him that I think when we get to heaven, that God's going to be excited and happy, and he's going to say, "Well, you made it." Well, listen to me. I'm humanizing God, what he would say. But just humor me. But I'm so sorry. I'm struggling. But I know what I think he would say is, "Hey, you made it. Congratulations. Enter into the kingdom of God." But you kind of missed the point of what exactly I wanted you to do. And like I said, I don't think it's intentional. But I think it's just us truly humanizing and truly just saying, "Well, I know what God would have me to be, but I know what I'm doing is acceptable." And we don't have that power. We don't have that deity to decide what God likes and decide what he doesn't. You know, and what I like about this is it says, do not add to his words. That's what we like to do. We love to stay or speak where the Bible speaks, but we also have a lot to say when the Bible is silent. We don't know when to be quiet. And we just keep adding and adding and adding all these things when truly, verse 5 says it all. I'm backing up to verse 5. It says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him." Stop. Like, to me, and again, maybe this verse doesn't jump out to you at all, but to me, that's the point. The word of God is true. So he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. That's all we need to know. There's no way that we can earn our way into heaven. There's no amount of money we can make to get into heaven. There's no admission price, right? You can't buy tickets. You can't, you know, fill in the blank. But he's saying he's going to be a shield if you choose to take refuge in him. And that's what we need to understand is we add and we add and we add and we say, "Well, we know that if we do this, that God's going to appreciate and he's going to like it." You don't know that. But we have way overcomplicated something that Christ did not intend to happen. because all he wants us to do is understand that we can't get through life without him. And when you truly understand that you can't get through life without something, then you never forget it. Ever. And that's one thing, like, you even think about, and I'm not a, I like coffee, I do, but I don't need it. I've not had coffee in probably 2 weeks. And it's not because I mean, if I liked it, I guess I would drink it. But I think black coffee tastes like mud. I've never had mud, but that's what I would think. Oh, I can give you mud. That's what I would think it tastes like. Like, I don't care who makes it. It all tastes like trash. And I'll drink it. I can drink it. One cup. After that, I'll start throwing up.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I'll start gagging. Hmm. And it takes every being of me to not gag.
Right.
While I'm sitting there trying to drink one cup of coffee. So I just don't, I don't need it. But some people, if you don't let them have their coffee, they are nightmares. Like, my Aunt Wendy used to be that way. Like, she was a monster. Get a couple cups of coffee in her, pleasant as can be.
Look, I relate. Look, like, sometimes in the mornings when people come in there and give me, like, tasks, like, when I first walk in the door, I'm like, I want to just hold up my finger real quick and be like, one moment, please. Walk over to the coffee pot, take a sip of coffee, and be like, okay, what do you need? Like, I understand that. I get that.
And I'm that way with some things that we won't mention. But, like, to me, caffeine and nicotine does absolutely nothing for me.
Right.
Like, I can drink sweet tea. It does not give me any energy.
Right.
I can drink Coke. Actually, I haven't drank Coke in a long time.
Attaboy.
But when I did used to drink Coke and soft drinks and soda, it doesn't do anything for me. I like the taste, you know?
Right.
But you find somebody out there. You find you a girl. I'm calling you girls out. You find you a girl what's addicted to Diet Coke, you're done. You're done.
Find a new.
I'm telling you. I had a teacher in high school. My chemistry teacher. Loved the woman to death. I'm not calling her out. The girl couldn't live without Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Like, multiple Diet Cokes a day, would leave in her, like, dead period, go to McDonald's, get a large Diet Coke, come back. Hmm. Like, had four bottles of it on. Like, just, it was an obsession.
Right.
And, like, to this day, it still is. I follow her on Facebook. It still is.
There's just a Diet Coke in the background.
But, like, when you understand that you can't function without something, then you touch it daily.
Yeah.
Like, for you, you have to have coffee. You find a way, even if you don't make it at your house, you go and pick it up. Or if, I'm trying to think, you know, of something, water. We can't, all of us can't function without water.
Right.
At some point. Or liquid. With right. The water base. Like, we drink something every day because we know we'll die without it.
Right.
That's what, to me, this verse is saying. Don't overcomplicate your relationship with Christ. Understand that you have to seek refuge in Christ. You cannot live without him. And if you understand that and relate it to our physical needs of life, then you're going to understand, hey, I have to engage with Christ every single day. Whether that's through prayer, whether that's through the word, whether it's through whatever you do, you have to understand that. Don't add to it. Don't do that. Just understand that you have to make a connection with Christ every single day, because your life depends on it. And I mean that very nicely, but I want you to understand that you need Christ like your life depends on it, because it does. So that's kind of my spiel for Proverbs chapter 30. And I'll turn it back over to Jackson.
Okay. Well, for me, I guess I don't have, like, a specific one. I just want to point out something that I thought was cool. Dylan mentioned how it's kind of, like, switched up the style. Like, you can tell that it's not Solomon writing anymore. It's kind of a little different. And so here, a girl, however you want to say his name, he has a different writing style. And he mentions, let me see if it count. One, two, three, four, five, six, maybe. Five or six, maybe a little more. But there's these riddles that are in here that we really haven't seen in Proverbs up to this point. So I'm just going to read a couple of them, and you know, we'll just think about it. Kind of, they're worth pondering, because if you just read them face value and you like move on to the next one, you'll probably miss some things. So I'm just going to read some of them real quick. Starting verse 15, back half of it. Three things are never satisfied. Four never says enough. Sheol, which my Bible says Sheol, that could also be translated as the grave. So the grave, the barren womb, the land never satisfied with water, and the fire that never says enough. Then jumping down, verse 18. Three things are too wonderful for me, for I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a virgin. Skip down a few more verses. Verse 21. Under three things the earth trembles. Under four it cannot bear up. A slave when he becomes a king, and a fool when he is filled with food. And an unloved woman when she gets a husband, and a maidservant when she displaces her mistress. And the next, and then another set. Four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. The locusts have no king, yet all of them march in rank. The lizard you can take in your hands, yet it is in king's palaces. And another one. The three things are stately in their tread. Four are stately in their stride. The lion, which is mightiest among beasts and does not turn back before any. The strutting rooster, the he-goat, and a king whose army is with him. And there might be another one in there. I might have missed it. But these are just a couple riddles that are just different from our traditional style of Proverbs so far. And I hope you kind of like just sit there and think about them for a little bit. Like the first one, if you just, all those things, the grave, a barren womb, a land with no water and fire, all those things consume. Nothing happens with those. You know, no, we all go to the grave. It's inevitable. We all will pass from this earth at some point. You know, that's something that's never satisfied. You know, the beginning of place, what you would think, a womb, but this one's barren. It's never going to produce anything. You know, land that's never satisfied with water. You know, you leave something without, you know, land without water for a long time, watch what grows there. Nothing grows. And then the fourth never says enough. Fire always consumes. It never says enough. You can't put something in fire and not consume it. You know, maybe it needs to get a little hotter, but you get the point. And then the next one, three things are too wonderful. You know, you ever thought about that? The way of an eagle in the sky. It's just chilling up there. It just glides. I think that's so cool to watch birds and like how they work, because I mean, you can just see these eagles or vultures or wherever part of the states you are in or country, and it's just gliding. It looks like it's sitting still almost, but it's so effortless, you know. The next one, the way of a snake on a rock. You know, if you think about it, how does a snake get up there? It slithers. How did it make its way on that rock? You know, have you ever seen a snake climb a tree? It's one of the more scariest things you will ever see.
I don't know why the government controls the serpents like this. I don't hate anything, but I do hate those creatures. They're scary, and I blame the government.
But like, that's like one of the creepiest things to watch. But at the same time, you're like, how does something with no legs and no arms climb a tree vertically when me having legs and arms struggles? Like, just some things are just like, it's too wonderful. Like, you try to make sense of it, and you're like, I don't even know how that happens.
I'm just watching a snake move.
Right.
Like, the way that its body flexes and releases.
It's all muscle. It's crazy.
It's scary.
It's scary, yeah.
That's what it is.
And like, the next one, the way of a ship on the high seas. Think of that. You know, there's these, like, I don't know if you watched, I was like, you know, Big Catch, whatever those TV shows are where it's like these tuna fishing guys out there who are just braving this water. And the water's coming in on the boat, but the boat doesn't sink. Now, sometimes it does, but it doesn't, right? Unless something happens specifically. Like, how does that work? I know buoyancy, some of those, you know, scientific people out there would be like, Jackson, you dummy. This is it. But still, that's crazy. And the last one, he says, and the fourth one, I do not understand. The way of a man with a woman. Like, that's incredible. Like, to think about how does, you know, this brute, stinky guy ever find favor with a woman, you know? Like, these are just things that I want you to think about. You know, we'll skip down to verses 24. Where it lists those certain animals, like the ants and the rock badgers and the locusts and the lizard, you know, like face value, just reading those don't really help you any. But like if you think about it, like the ants are small in size, limited in strength by themselves. That's the important part. But together, they can, you know, they have diligence, they can prepare, and they, you know, all in that summer periods, they're storing up food in those little anthills. You know, you ever seen the movie Bug's Life? I mean, they're storing ants. They're storing all this food so that when winter comes, they have enough to live. You know, that's something crazy. You know, what about the rock badgers? Those things are, you know, like you can almost think of a meerkat. Like you don't have to worry about those guys. You're not walking out and wondering if a rock badger is going to get you. They choose to live in cliffs because they choose to make their homes where they can protect themselves. They choose a safe and secure habitat to protect themselves. That's wisdom. That's a lot of wisdom in that. You know, what about locusts? Locusts have no king. There's no central leader. They just work together and they coordinate like where they go. You know, that's a wisdom, and working together can get a lot of things accomplished. I don't know what locusts do. I know God cursed, you know, Egypt with them at one point, but they work and feed off of teamwork. Or like lizards, you know, most of them in our area are small. You know, you might get other places and they might be a little bigger, but lizards are small and can be caught. They're very fast, but they can be caught. However, they make their way into everything. They seem so vulnerable, but yet they can survive in any sort of environments. You know, they can get into the most luxurious places, secure places. You might have a fort somewhere. Well, guess what? A lizard's going to find its way in there because it adapts. It thrives in these diverse circumstances. And so the main point of just, I guess, all of this is that take time when you read Proverbs. That if you just read some of these like face value, they don't do you any good. And I guess you should, well, not guess, you should take this kind of outlook into all of the Bible. Reading it at face value sometimes can do a lot for you, but man, how much you can learn, how much wisdom can just impact your life if you really just dive into it. And I hope that's what you've done on Proverbs. You know, we've only been picking a couple of verses, but I hope that you've kind of gone into it and done your own digging, picked out some of the verses that stood out to you and not just listen to us, although we love that you listen to us. So.
We do.
Yep. Anything else, Dylan?
I don't think so.
Well, we hope you have a good week. Thank you again for tuning in, and next week, or I shouldn't say next week, because sometimes we are, sometimes things happen.
Next time, we'll see you again.
Yeah, just like that. Next time, we'll go over chapter 31 and be done with it. And hopefully, you know, putting us on the spot, we'll have news on where we're going next.
Season 3 of Coffee and Christ.
Woo! And if, again, we do have we do have an email, I should probably check that again, but nobody responds, so...
info@coffee...
I don't even know either. It's been... It is info.coffeeandchrist@gmail.com. No spaces, no caps, no nothing. So
talk to us.
Yeah, talk to us. Send us something. If you are maybe have suggestions about what we should talk about next, send them. You know, we'd love to explore new topics and stuff like that. So again, that's info.coffeeandchrist@gmail.com. So
hope you have a great week, and we love you.
Jesus loves you.
Bye.